Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com.
You're listening to Leaf Filter Radio, and the guru of gutter protection himself, Chris Counihan, is here to take your most pressing leaf-related questions.
Hey, everybody, Chris here. I understand we have Ron on the line. Ron, where are you calling from?
Uh-oh. Ron, are you calling from a ladder?
Well, I was. I wanted to ask Chris what I need to do to get my gutters ready to have leaf filter installed.
Oh, Ron, you don't have to do anything. A leaf filter trusted pro will come out and clean out your gutters, realign and seal your gutters, and install leaf filter, America's number one gutter protection system.
So I didn't need to get on this ladder?
Ron, leaf filter trusted pros are in your neighborhood and ready to help. Just visit leaffilter.com/day to schedule your free gutter inspection and get up to 30% off.
Thank goodness. What was that site?
That's leaffilter.com/day for your free gutter inspection today. See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or military discount. One discount per household.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello, folks. Merry Christmas. It is I, TFG, and Mike. You are here inside day 8 of the Tooncast Beyond, 25 days of Toon Beyond Christmas. This is our 2016 action block where we talk about three action cartoons that either are based around Christmas or are based at Christmas time. Some may have Christmas things in them, some may not. Again, huge experiment. So up first, we've got Transformers Animated Human Error Parts 1 and 2 with myself and Michael Wilson, Peacock or Michael. Part 2 will be Michael Wilson and I joined by Steve Megatron talking about Cobra Claws coming to town. And then finally, myself and Mike Dodd talk about the real Ghostbusters. Xmas marks the spot. So enjoy the first annual 2016 Christmas Action Block.
Hey Prime, how come you're still patrolling? Everyone's back at the planet and ready to party.
It's Soundwave. I see him everywhere I look.
The interactive Soundwave toy sings. He dances. He does it all. And he can still be delivered just in time for that last-minute gift. Oh, we have another call.
That toy rightfully belongs to me, Power. You are a thieving crook.
And a Merry Christmas to you too, Professor Sumdack. But I acquired this toy's patents fair and square when I owned your company. Now I'm sharing Soundwave with the entire world for only $19.99 each.
$19.99? How does he do it?
Huh? Prime, I knocked Soundwave into a million pieces, remember? He can't hurt us now.
Yeah, come on home. Sorry showing us how to celebrate the holiday season in style.
Tell him we're making oil nog.
Oil nog? Oh, I'm afraid to ask. Huh? Okay, maybe I just have Soundwave on the processor.
What do you think we got?
We can find out if we run up the Ratchet's X-ray scanner.
Only if you want to end up on Santa's naughty list, put him back under the tree and come help me decorate.
Busted.
Yeah, okay.
That's right, folks. We are here in day 8, the 2016 Christmas action block here on Tooncast Beyond's 25 Days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas. Joining me this time around is Pecan Court Michael. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. And today we're going to talk about pretty much the only Transformers Christmas cartoon I kind of know of. I remember there being some sort of snowball fight at the beginning of one of the G1 episodes 30-some-odd years ago, but I don't think we ever had, you know, Christmas trees and lights and Megatron dressed up as Santa Claus with Rumble, Frenzy, Ravage, and Ratbat as reindeer. So, but yes, Transformers Animated will also be 10 years old next year in 2017. Wow. Transformers Animated Season 2, Human Error. This was the quote-unquote Christmas episode of the series. With the Christmas season upon them, the Autobots are not quite themselves, following a run-in with Porter C. Powell's new mass-produced Soundwave action figures. So this was the debut of Soundwave.
No, not a debut. Remember, they faced Soundwave before, but they defeated him, and they didn't think they'd find him. They didn't think he would come back.
No, I could have sworn this was his debut, wasn't it?
Not the debut, no, because at one point they actually say, oh, Soundwave, you know, we defeated him before, and we'll defeat him again. I had the exact same trouble here. I was having trouble remembering where we were in the timeline, you know, because this has got to be like somewhere in the second season.
Yeah.
Because Soundwave is back, Prowl has a samurai armor. Right. Megatron's alive. Sari is she's not a robot. She's not a meta. What do they call her? They kept telling her, you must kill the trans tech or the trans. What do they call her?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, you get.
The key, yeah. The key master, well, the gatekeeper, or
right.
Something.
She's the robot. She's she's part Cybertronian. They haven't called her Cybertronian yet, but they just say, you know, she's. She's part robot. They know this already. She transforms a little bit. And I'm trying to remember. This is so long ago. I mean, literally.
This episode is basically her trying to get the Autobots into the Christmas spirit and understanding. And this is the episode where Soundwave turns them human by capturing all of them and basically doing a perchance to dream kind of thing. From Batman, where right. They're in this special Soundwave universe, and they're all human size. You know, you got Bumper Robinson, you got Jeff Glenn Bennett, you got David Kaye, you got Corey Burton, and you got Bill Fagerbakke in there. Very you look at Human Optimus Prime, you can tell that's David Kaye.
It's pretty clearly David Kaye. Yeah, that's funny. What kills me though. This is the worst part, is that 10 years later, I expect to hear different voices.
Really?
Yeah. You know, it's
what you expect.
It's funny, because, you know, I'm watching it, and I'm expecting to hear Peter Cullen. I'm expecting to hear Kevin Michael Richardson out of Bulkhead. When Ratchet talks, I want to hear Jeff Combs. Yeah. Now you've got Bulkhead talking, all I hear is Patrick.
Yeah,
exactly, and because that's what Bill Fagerbakke is known for, and it's bothersome. The only person I'm really happy to hear again, voice wise, is Sari, because I'm big Tara Strong fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
Love me some Tara Strong.
Yeah, you had a whole bunch of humans in this too. You had Spike and Daniel.
Right.
And Gary and Gary's mother, whoever the hell Gary is, I don't know who the hell that guy is. Carly.
Marty Eisenberg was in it.
Yeah.
He's the writer. He actually made a cameo.
Yep.
He was there. Spike and Carly and Daniel showed up like at least three times. Well, Spike and Daniel showed up twice, and Spike and Carly and their baby showed up once.
Yeah, because Nancy Witwicky is the baby.
Nancy Witwicky, what? Really?
That's what it says.
That's interesting. I was not aware that the baby had a name.
So what happens when you go to tfwiki.net?
You go, well, you know, they're...
Oh, boy. Here
they're
we go.
Wiki. That is what's fun about this show. And I remember, you know, vividly the reason that the show was... You know, it started off as everyone saying, oh, the animation is crap, and why are you watching the show? But the cleverness of the cameos and how they reinvented characters and had old characters show up unexpectedly. You know, even like Japanese characters that most people had never even heard of showed up in this
Absolutely,
show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and it was so clever, and it won everybody over. If I remember right, you hated it for like the first several. You know, like you were just like, I hate this show. I'm never going to watch that show. And yeah, then it was like, this is the best show ever.
It took me a few years to come around to it.
Was it? All right, well.
Yeah, it debuted 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. I had just seen the first movie. I had read the 2008 BotCon comic, which was the first Shattered Glass comic. And yeah, animated. It took me a while. They had to do certain things to rope me in, like, you know, the whole Shockwave color change thing, and you know, bringing, you know, Mr. you know, Brat Pack himself back to voice his classic character, right. That kind of stuff. But you know, in retrospect, I still enjoy this series.
Yeah. And again, it's enjoyable. It's fun. It's really interesting what they did with the characters. All that was erased almost immediately. After, you know? Mm-hmm. But, you know, the fact is that it was all very clever stuff. And at the time, the voices were, you know, spot on amazing. And now, you know, again, after so many years of Prime and, you know, other shows that have been on, I'm kind of used to hearing other actors. I kind of expect to hear Kevin Michael Richardson come out of Bulkhead.
Yeah. Because no offense to Bill, but Kevin Michael Richardson is better than Patrick.
Oh! It's probably true, but oh!
When it comes to Bulkhead,
yeah.
You know, when it comes to the character of Bulkhead, Kevin Michael Richardson is a better Bulkhead.
You know, and being an old-time, old-school horror fan, Jeffrey Combs. I mean, come on, yeah. Man. Jeffrey Combs, he's got an excellent voice. And as much as I like Corey Burton, yeah. Jeffrey Combs.
Mm-hmm.
I never met Corey Burton. He's one of those guys that, one of those voice actors that I never caught up with at a convention.
Yeah, you gonna but, try to go to HasCon next year?
Probably not. You know, I went to the BotCon in Rhode Island, and I did the tour of the Hasbro facilities, and you know, it was neat. It was fun, but I'm not sure if I can justify the trip this time.
So, back to Human Error here. The whole thing is they end up getting stuck in Soundwave's virtual reality during Christmas time. And there's a point when we get to part two where Autobots transform and rock out because Optimus Prime steals the guitar, the laser beak guitar.
Yeah.
Dueling guitars. That's funny. That's funny.
That's not what I was thinking, but yeah, okay, I'll buy that.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I was thinking toward the end of Human Error 1 is, you know, they realize that they're in a dreamscape, and you know, you've got Freddy Krueger and the Dream Warrior song. We're the Dream Warriors. Not gonna dream no more. I can't sing, but yeah, I was gonna say.
We know.
You gotta find that song, stick that in the credits somewhere because it's funny.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, you know, this is funny. I wrote the note. It says, "And they're in the Matrix." And as I was reading it, I was like, what does that mean? Are they all dead? Are they till all are one? I'm confused. But no, I meant Neo. Like Neo yeah. In the, Neo in the Matrix. Because not only do they realize that they're not really human, they're in a dreamscape, but that they can still channel their old powers and transform back into the robots if they if they do the if by realizing the fact that they are in a dreamscape and they can manipulate it.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really, really fun. And again, it was such an interesting episode because you have Soundwave of all people, and Soundwave in this series, the first time he appeared was Sound and Fury, and that's, you know, when he was Sare's little toy, and Megatron eventually used him to, you know, gain power and blah blah blah. And here he's back trying to do this whole virtual reality thing, and it's just so fun.
Yeah, I thought it was fun in the first episode. By the time you get to the second episode, it's like, well, great. They know they're in a virtual reality landscape. They can't get out. You know, I kind of lost interest at that point. Mm. And they know, the writers, you know, they know we're losing interest. So what do? They go dig up the Dinobots. Yep. Merry Christmas, Dinobots. You know,
and everybody wanted a T-Rex for Christmas.
Everybody, yeah. But you know, honestly, again, voice actors, I was really missing Greg Berger. Well, Greg Berger was in my head the whole time. Well, the three or four lines that Grimlock actually had, I was like, you know, I love David Kaye, I really do. You know, he's one of the best voice actors in the Transformers franchises. But Greg Berger, man, Greg Berger.
Yep.
He's Grimlock. And then you know, they got Wreck-Gar. And Wreck-Gar is
Weird Al
Yankovic. I am Wreck-Gar. I am a hero.
He dares to be stupid.
He was ahead of his time. It's the last time we saw him, he was ahead at the bottom of the river, and now
yep.
And now he's got his body back and he's jumping out of the river. Didn't explain how he got his body back, just hey, Merry Christmas. Got a body again. I'm still dumb as a brick, but here I am.
It was Unicron.
That's right. Unicron at the bottom of the river.
Unicron is the center of the planet Earth. Oh, wait, that's the other series.
they dug up Orson Welles. All right.
Oh boy.
Scrapper, Snarl, and Wreck-Gar and Sari get their butts handed to them by the newly brainwashed Autobots. And then we have Operation Face the Music. Mm-hmm. And then at the very, very end, there's a Christmas tree. And you know, they're trying to do something Christmassy, like, oh hey, Merry Christmas, yay, you know.
There's a Christmas tree at the end that only Charlie Brown could love.
Sad little Christmas tree. But, you know, and the very, was I think it's the last line. It's Wreck-Gar. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Garbage for all the good little children.
Yeah.
As he throws the garbage around. I mean, that was cute. But again, you know, we're talking about a Christmas episode. Human Error 1, they start off by trying to describe Christmas and the partaking of the eggnog, or the oil nog. Right.
Yes. Yes.
That Soundwave spikes. He spikes the oil nog, which is what leads to this whole mess.
Right.
But you know, from that point, pretty much from the time that they wake up in human bodies, until the time in the next episode where they've defeated Soundwave, mm-hmm. and you know, they're bidding farewell to Christmas Wreck-Gar. Which would have been an awesome repaint, actually, Wreck-Gar in like holiday colors. To that point in time, they don't mention Christmas. It's not like, oh, hey, this is a Christmas episode. It's
yeah, they kind of mention it at the beginning and the end, but that's about it.
Yeah, not very just Christmassy. It's maybe, you know, they pay lip service to Christmas, but you know, Optimus Prime never puts on the giant Santa suit, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, because how cool would that have been?
And this is where I'm going to come in and say I think that it was only fitting that David Kaye was the voice of Optimus in this series, because if he did put a giant Santa suit on that design of Optimus, it would look and sound really stupid if Peter Cullen's voice was coming out of that Optimus.
Well, I'm sure you've seen the picture of Optimus Prime in the Santa outfit. I mean, ho, ho, ho. G1 Optimus Prime.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I don't think David Kaye could have pulled that off, man. he could have. You know, honestly, David Kaye's awesome. We love David Kaye. But, you know, like I said, 10 years later, we're acclimated to different actors. And when you see this, it's a little jarring.
Yeah, I can agree with that. All right, folks, coming up next here on the day 8, the 2016 Christmas Action Block, Steve and I are going to be talking about G.I. Joe, Cobra Claws coming to town.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we'll be back after this.
Button your beak, bird, or there's a feather duster in your future.
Hey, Shipwreck. Where's your holiday spirit?
Yeah, let's have some Yuletide cheer. We collected enough toys to beat last year's record.
They're going to make the kids at Children's Hospital real happy.
Cobra Rattler!
Happy holidays from Wild Weasel, you Christmas turkeys!
Look out! Find us some cover, or we'll be eating asphalt!
Head for that rock pile up ahead. Gun it, Cover Girl.
Ah, made it.
Flash Cow! Flash Cow!
Yeah, but now what? That Rattler could keep us pinned down till next Christmas.
Wild Weasel to Cobra Commander. Firefly's mission is accomplished. Return into base. Why'd he take off? He had us.
Who cares? He's gone. Let's not look a gift horse in the mouth.
Wanted one of these when I was a lad. Charming, isn't it now?
Place looks awfully deserted, Duke.
Most of the Joes took holiday leave.
We were attacked by a Rattler on our way here. If Cobra mounts a full assault while we're short-handed...
They'd never get through our automatic defense grid, Cover Girl.
Your lips and feast your eyes. Roadblock cooked you a big surprise.
Andre, you outdid yourself.
Duke, will you do the honors?
You bet. Who wants a leg? Junkyard, I might have guessed. That's one hungry dog, Mutt.
Yeah. I'll chow down later, okay? I want to be alone for a while.
What's wrong with Mutt?
Beats me, Tripwire. Holiday blues, I guess.
Now that's loyalty. How many dogs would give up a turkey leg to mope around with their master? Can't help it, Junk. This time of year always makes me sad. You see, well, when I was a kid, my folks made such a fuss about the holidays, they didn't have time for me. I never got to trim the tree or wrap presents. They never even let me hang up my own stocking. Now, every year, I get this left-out feeling. Junk. You hear something? What the...
Oh,
Trojan rocking horse. We've been snookered. I don't believe this.
To the defense grid! On my way, Major Blood!
Why isn't he with us?
Perhaps he prefers our company.
And maybe I'm the Queen of England. Somebody break your pop gun, Destro.
Imbecile. This molecular reducer enlarger represents a decade of research.
Destro, it's accomplished its purpose brilliantly. We now have the jaw weapons and vehicles we need for tomorrow's attack on Keystone City.
You're gonna attack a city? With our gear?
To make the government think we're behind it.
Yes. A tragic mistake, but quite understandable. Especially after they've seen this.
Citizens of Keystone City, this is Sergeant Duke Houser, G.I. Joe team leader. We're tired of serving our country. It's time the country started serving us. As of 1100 hours, the Joes declare your city under martial law, our law. Resistance will be met with deadly force. That is all.
What have you done to him, you monster?
I haven't done a thing, have I, Duke?
No, Master, not a thing.
It can't be.
Right you are.
But try telling it to the folks in Keystone City.
Zartan.
Tomorrow, the real Duke will be aboard my Sky Striker. This will confirm that the Joes have turned traitor.
The heck we have.
Take them away where they won't cause any mischief. Somewhere in keeping with the season. Yes, put them on ice.
Remember, mate, keep cool.
I just decided I hate puns. If we don't get out of here quick, we'll be a bunch of joesicles.
All right, folks, part two of the 2016 action block here inside the 25 Days of Toon Cast Beyond Christmas. Michael Wilson is still here from our animated discussion, and joining us is a special guest, Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello, hello.
And in this part, part two of three, we're going to be talking about Sunbow's G.I. Joe, Cobra Claws is coming to town. Not even Bruce Springsteen could make this episode awesome.
I don't think Bruce Springsteen was in this.
He has a very famous version of Santa Claus is coming to town. Have you never heard that? Come on now.
That's Bruce Springsteen?
Oh my god, I'm gonna knock.
If you say so.
So basically in this episode of Sunbow G.I. Joe, it's Christmas time, and correct me if I'm wrong, are they trying to emulate the Marines Toys for Tots? Is that what's going on in this episode?
I think that's what they're going for. They're taking toys to a charity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They are the charity. It's the G.I. Joe toy charity. Yep, exactly. Toys for Tots.
And, you know, they talk about Christmas, and the only two out of the entire Joe team, well, three that I even know are Duke, Shipwreck, and Roadblock. The rest of them, I have no clue who the hell they are.
I knew all of them, but Cover Girl, and I recognized the name from the really bad movie that came out.
That's right. I knew all of them.
Yes, but I knew all of them other than that one. Mm.
Yeah. I knew all of them and was wondering why they were in this episode. And
yeah.
I think this had to have been like season two or season three when they started rotating in new characters.
Mm-hmm.
It was the Drunk Pirate edition.
Exactly. Well, you don't see Snake Eyes in every single one anymore because, you know, they're rotating in new characters.
Mm-hmm.
And they took it as, you know, everyone's off on vacation. They're not here because they're with their families, and
mm-hmm.
they're off fighting Storm Shadow somewhere.
Yeah.
Storm Shadows.
No, just one Storm Shadow.
So Cobra tells Cobra wants to basically frame the Joes for attacking a town at Christmas time. Now, this episode, after I watched it, I'm like, this is like every other action piece. It's not a Christmas thing. It's a thing that takes place at Christmas.
I'll buy that.
So like Die Hard.
Yes, exactly like Die Hard. Die Hard is not a Christmas movie. It's a movie that takes place at Christmas.
So it's a Christmas movie.
No, it's
now
not.
Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
What were your thoughts on this after you watched it, Steve?
First of all, how insanely difficult it was to watch because of the bad animation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I mean, I enjoyed it for what it was. I think that the animation made me want to turn it off prematurely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the animation.
I kept wondering how much more there was left.
Yeah, really?
It seems like I've been watching this for an hour.
And the sad thing is it's only 21 minutes.
It's like the Ice Cube movie, Are We Done Yet?
Are we there yet? Are we done yet? Are we there yet? Are we done yet? Yeah, that's crazy.
Well, the important thing here is to know that Christmas is 50% knowing, 25% red lasers, 25% blue lasers.
I guess.
It's half the battle.
Yeah.
It's half the Christmas. Knowing.
Knowing is half the Christmas.
Knowing is half the Christmas. Okay. So, you know what? I was on board
mm-hmm.
when Destro, who's a weapon supplier, right? Destro, and after 10 years of R&D, has developed a shrink ray, a shrinkinator.
After they developed it in a film of Disney's.
Honey, I blew up the cobras. Mm-hmm. So I was on board for this. I was okay with this. A giant poly, not on board with. Just couldn't do it. Said, you know what? I hate this bird. I hate this character. And I hate this bird. Can't do it.
Yeah, that's yeah, it, you know what it reminds me of? Mm. The very first episode of these Adventures of Super Mario Brothers 3. They go to Giant Land, and Mario has to become Super Giant Ninja Mario, and then at the end of it, the parrot that the king has becomes the Super Giant Ninja Parrot. That's exactly what this reminds me of. Yeah, what is it with some of these action cartoons that are basically, they try to have a Christmas or a holiday episode, but it's not really a holiday episode. Out of the three that we talked about, or that we will talk about today, one of these actually is a Christmas episode because it actually is doing a play on, you know, A Christmas Carol, which is what you'll hear next with Birdman Dodd and I talking the real Ghostbusters, Xmas Marks the Spot. This G.I. Joe episode and the Transformers animated episode that Michael and I talked about previously, they're not really full-on Christmas episodes, which is crazy. And I had already said that, you know, this whole thing was a giant experiment doing this 25 Days of Christmas, so... Oh, boy.
We'll see how many of these episodes actually have Christmas in it.
The majority of them do. Except for these two, apparently.
Well, I mean, they start off very Christmassy with the holiday gift drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then when they approach G.I. Joe headquarters, it has the huge Merry Christmas across the front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which had to have cost taxpayers hundreds of dollars.
They sit down to turkey dinner.
That's right. And all of them are in their uniforms.
Yeah.
Not one of them is just like in sweatpants or PJs or something. Just like, hey, I'm going to dress up in full regalia. You know, the flamethrower guy, complete flamethrower suit. And you know it's a flamethrower suit because it's red and yellow.
He's the Flash.
He's mostly yellow. He's kind of Kid Flashy.
Kid Flash doesn't have any powers. He's on meth.
What does he do when he's bored?
Meth.
So what I liked about this is they brought out a lot of the toys. And when I say toys, not just because they were shrunk down to toy size, but because when I was little, we used to play with these. So like the Cobra Rattler and the battle suits, the big robot looking things that you could put people in, and the Cobra Fang, and I forget the name of the Jeep. I think the Jeep was the Scorpion.
Nobody can drive a thing like that.
Exactly. Nobody. But yeah, Wild Bill, Wild Weasel. They were both wild. That's why they flew. These characters.
The Wild Stallions.
Be excellent to each other. But yeah, all these toys, all these characters from when I was that I used to play with when I was little, mm-hmm. I'm seeing on TV again, and it's funny because a lot of these I don't remember from the earlier cartoons. Like they had the Cobra Jeeps, right? But they also had the anti-aircraft guns dragging them behind them.
Right.
And it's like I don't remember seeing those in a cartoon. And, but they, you know, it's just an eclectic mix of all sorts of neat things. It was a lot of fun to watch.
And they just,
a lot of fun to watch them blow each other up.
Yeah. And they just had to have Cobra Commander use both his faces.
Hey, it's a toy selling point, man.
Yeah.
Gotta make sure you know that he changes costume from time to time.
Yeah.
That's right. He's not always gonna wear that mask. He's gotta wear this other mask. He didn't wear his third mask. He actually has a. Thank you, Gollum.
I know, right?
That's what he sounds like.
Oh, he was more snaky.
Yes, he was.
Yes. Lispy. He had a little bit of a lisp. Yeah. Snake lips will do that to you. Another thing that interested me here is the solid take on winter depression. Yeah, which was kind of like, oh, I'm kind of, you know, it's like we're going to take 5 full minutes out of a 20-minute cartoon to watch Mutt, you know, kind of kick around the junkyard there. Kick around the yard, not his dog.
Hey, but, you know, wait a second here.
Kind of kick around the yard, let's say, with, you know, being all mopey because he's depressed at Christmas.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, he's like, I got to kick a lot of ass today. I think I'm feeling pretty good. Merry Christmas, everybody. And the dog's like, ruff, ruff. Merry Christmas, junkyard. I always thought it was strange. His name was Mutt, and the Mutt's name was Junkyard.
And you know, the sad thing is, the only thing I thought of when I heard the dog's name, Junkyard Dog from WWF. Like, when's the wrestler going to show up, people?
Exactly.
First thing I thought of.
Junkyard Dog.
Where's Hulk Hogan when you really need him?
That's right. I forgot how annoying Roadblock is. Because he's like Wheelie. Everything he says is in rhyme. You know,
I noticed that.
Yeah, people hate Wheelie, but everyone loves Roadblock. I don't get it. Just like, yeah, that's
annoying. It's a matter of appearance. And the voice.
And the voice. Make him shut up. It's like a huge rhyming Mr. T.
A huge rhyming Mr. T would have been better than that.
It might have been. You know? Well, Roadblock isn't complete without his big-ass gun, and he didn't have his big-ass gun. Yeah. This time he was cooking, because he's a chef.
Yeah. All as I can see now is Mr. T. I pity the fool who doesn't go to school.
Oh.
This episode was just all kinds of nuts. It really, really was.
It was, yeah. It really kind of dipped into what made G.I. Joe popular back in the day.
It's horrible storylines.
It's horrible storytelling. That's right.
And people wonder, or people who have been listening to the GCRN for X number of years now, wonder why we never started Cobra Cast. This is probably why, because it's not really worth our pain and time and suffering.
Well, the thing about it is it has nothing to do with that.
Oh, I know.
It has to do with I'm lazy.
Oh, it's not. It's not that. Things have changed over the years. You know,
I'm saying that's exactly why. I did not.
It's not
do
because
that
it's a
movie.
Terrible. We could review a terrible show, but you know, ain't nobody got time for that. No thanks.
Oh Lord!
I took down three. Yay for me! That's what Roblox did.
Oh my God.
Mr. T freestyling.
Don't, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? You know, just to wrap things up here, I just want to say, if I were, you know, motoring about in the frozen tundra, I don't think I'd be doing it in a dune buggy. You know, give me something with heated seats. You know?
Why is Shiprock wearing a Saturday Night Fever outfit when he's running out in the snow?
I can't explain it. And I was thinking maybe it's just their
He's
character
like, disco,
models.
Disco,
you know? Yeah, their character models are set, you know. That's why at the beginning of the show they're like that, and at dinner they're like that. But then toward the end of the episode, they're all wearing parkas. So I'm thinking, at what point did it become okay to change the character model?
Mm.
I don't know.
About the same time Cobra Commander changed his clothes.
Yeah. About the same time they all needed to get rid of those fucking repaints.
Repaint, oh, it's nothing but repaint. My favorite Cobra Commander mold figure, right, is the battle suit. He had this big old metal battle suit.
You're talking about the silver one he has in the Deke series?
Mm. Yeah, with the with the mask tubing so he can breathe.
That's my favorite one too.
It's so badass.
I found the toy like years ago when they had like the 25th anniversary or something at G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
And I found it for like $5 at a Walmart, and now it goes for like $30 on eBay.
Oh wow!
I still have it.
That's a once upon a time. You know, we had the original, and I was like,
"This is the coolest thing ever."
You know, I used to take all the figures and like mix and match their weapons. So like Firefly was one of my favorite guys. But, and that's why I was happy to see him here. He like came out of a rock or something. I mean, like the door opened in a rock and he's like, hee hee hee. But I would like put all the weapons on him.
You say that about him coming out of the rock, and all I can think of is Batman. I threw a rock at him.
That does it. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a really weird episode.
Yeah,
well, hard to watch. Hard to watch.
Steve, any final thoughts before we go bust some ghosts?
It's not terrible, but I mean, it's decent for what it is. If you can discount the giant bird coming by and going.
Jingle bells.
And I'm just like, why the hell is this bird talking like a lot?
You know, there was a lot of bird and there was a lot of junkyard making noises, and I was wondering if Frank Welker was in the room.
Possibly.
It's entirely possible. I didn't check the cast. I don't know. But yeah.
Did he say his pants were full?
Oh. On that note, folks, let's go talk about some Ghostbusters. We'll be back after this.
I ain't afraid of no.
That's right.
We now return to the real Ghostbusters.
You sure this is the right way home?
Ask me no questions and I'll tell you no lies, Winston.
Terrific. This is the last time we take a job in upstate New York.
Especially if our client has anything to say about it after what happened.
I still say it wasn't my fault. I told her to keep the cat out of my way. I mean, it's not like the fur won't grow back or anything.
Forget it, Ray. I guess we're all just a little bugged about having to work on Christmas Eve, right, Peter?
Doesn't bother me. Christmas is just another day.
Now, this is weird. I don't remember seeing this fork in the road on our way up to you, Egon.
No, but given our general direction and the presumed location of the turnpike, I'd say go left.
You know, I could be mistaken, but this doesn't look like a turnpike. Shall we put it to a vote?
Not now, Peter, okay? Come on, girl. Just a little further. You can do it. Come on!
All right, folks, wrapping up day 8, the 2015 Christmas action block here on the 25 Days of Tooncast Beyond Christmas 2016 is The Real Ghostbusters, Xmas Marks the Spot, or Hits the Spot, or whatever it's supposed to be called. And joining me for this, because he loves busting ghosts, is Mike the Birdman Dodd.
What can I say? Busting makes me feel good.
Because you ain't afraid.
That's right.
Fallout missile. Anyway,
you know what? I find the riff on that song really sticks with you, but it's the Missy Elliott stuff that just sticks out just so randomly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good song, but just could be. You know what? I want someone to remix that. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. Anyway, so we are here closing out the day 8 here, talking about Real Ghostbusters. And you know, it's funny, we talked about this years and years and years ago on Tooncast Classic. I think it was episode 65 that we talked about the whole series. It was like back in 2009 or 2010 or something like that. And I thought it was only fitting to have you back because, as I said, you know, you love Ghostbusters. And after watching this, I'm like, oh my God, really? They did a Scrooge Ghostbusters episode? Come on, really? Oh my God, this is 22 minutes of hell, folks. I'm sorry.
I didn't think it was that bad. I actually thought it was kind of cute, in a way, going back and rewatching it for the show. I find it's one of the less in-your-face Christmas specials of the time. They just randomly insert the Ghostbusters mm-hmm. into A Christmas Carol, which I'm okay with. Although the explanation you get's a little bit stupid. Like, man, we just randomly went through a time warp. Yeah. Oh, well. Oh.
Yeah, that's, yeah. That, and I think at this point, well, it's going to happen further along as we get along here, but there's several Christmas specials coming up in this spotlight that either work on or work off of It's a Wonderful Life or A Christmas Carol.
and some of them just fall flat for me. This one didn't fully fall flat, but as you said, it's the explanation of the whole execution of the thing. Like,
they do kind of rush through it, because, as the episode goes on, they go in, they arrive just when Ebenezer Scrooge is running into the three ghosts of past, present, and future. They bust them, throw them in the trap, go back to the future, and then, like, oh man, Christmas is gone now. Bah humbug. And they randomly find out Ebenezer wrote a book called Christmas Humbug, and Christmas has been gone for like 200 years.
Oh my God.
So they randomly have to figure out how to go back in time, which they never explain that either.
No, they don't.
But how Egon has to go into the containment unit.
I mean, I thought that was interesting. I did think one of them, especially Egon, you know, going into the containment unit, I did think that was interesting. But
especially because you see the boogeyman in there. You see Samhain. You see big ghosts that have been featured throughout the series make a cameo appearance, which I thought was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that was, and that was very, very cool and interesting and awesome. But again, at the end of this, they, you know, Egon's telling Scrooge, okay, you're going to be visited by three ghosts, three more ghosts? And I'm like, so people know, in case people have not seen this episode, what happens is they trap the original three ghosts of Christmas, past, present, and future, and then they all have to become the ghosts of Christmas, past, present, and future. So you have six ghosts in one show.
Yeah, and they're like, I don't know if I could take much more of this, which I thought was actually kind of funny. And they have Venkman dress up as Christmas past with magnesium flares, which I thought was actually kind of a neat little gag there.
Yeah, and then Winston was Christmas present. That was just weird. A black guy with an orange beard. Okay. Sure, that's
sure.
Believable.
Why not?
Yeah, that's totally believable.
But yeah, I mean, I think in terms of Christmas specials, this one, it wasn't beating you over the head with it.
Right.
It wasn't as bad as it could have been. I mean, it's not as bad as, say, the Rambo and the Force of Freedom's Christmas special, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I'm going to say this is probably one of the least obnoxious Christmas specials you could probably show anybody.
Rambo had a Christmas special.
Oh, yeah, where Santa Claus and Rambo fight Nazis. Oh. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, my God.
It's so real. It's either Nazis or terrorists, but I think it's Nazis. Rambo rescued Santa Claus from terrorists or Nazis, and then they team up and fight them against Claw. It's ridiculous. It's so funny.
Okay. So I have told, and I will tell this story throughout the whole special, because I just have to give background to some of the guest hosts. And 5 years ago, 2011, I spent 2.5 days going through every single article on Wikipedia I could find that listed every single Christmas cartoon in the United States that was ever released. I went through it all. I found 50 things that I could make two of these special series. So 25 days, Two Cats Beyond Christmas this year, 25 days next. So I found 50 cartoons. And people have been telling me about all the various other ones that I've missed. And some of them I am so glad I have missed, because I just... my brain would explode.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some of the other really dumb Christmas specials I've seen. I know some of the Power Rangers ones are a little bit goofy, but...
yeah, but that's live action, though. That's... yeah, you're right. But for animation, there are some, but, you know...
I remember the Garfield specials being really good, though.
Yeah.
Almost every Garfield one's pretty decent.
Yeah, well, that's because it's Garfield. All right, I think that's going to wrap it up for day 8. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Mike, and I want to thank everybody else that joined me here for the 2015 Christmas Action Block here on Tooncast Beyond. And coming up next, we've got day 9, which is... what is day 9?
I'm going to have to edit this now, but whatever. Fuck, what is day 9? I know what it is now. All right. So coming up next, folks, is on day 9, TV's Mr. Neil is going to join me, and we're going to, for about 12 minutes, try to talk about Space Ghost Coast to Coast, a Space Ghost Christmas. You know, we were just talking about really, really bad Christmas specials. That's a really, really bad Christmas special. That's 9 minutes of my life I will never get back. Now, I love Space Ghost, and I think that was an awesome show, but basically having Space Ghost and Zorak become Johnny Carson and Ed McMahon just did not work for me at all. So where can the people find you online, sir?
You can find me online on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at BirdmanDodd. I'm always at the social media call. And if you check out your comic book shops this month, I'm actually in Ghostbusters International Issue 10. I'm officially Ghostbusters canon now. I wrote the Los Angeles Guide to the Dead. If you look in the back of the Ghostbusters case files, that's me. Thanks to writer Eric Burnham.
Awesome.
Solid. So check out that, the IDW Ghostbusters series. And of course, thisweekingeek.net.
All right, folks, we're going to get the heck out of here. We'll see you tomorrow for day 9 when we try to talk about Space Ghost. Wow. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, all that good stuff. We'll catch you tomorrow, folks.
Happy fuckface.
Wait, what?
That's what I say instead of Christmas, like happy fuckface. Because no one expects it.
Yeah. Okay, then. All right.
In meadows and down shady lanes. Shut up. Shut up! Why, soitney, you don't think I'm the kind that would keep blabbing? Some people never know when to stop. When I'm told to shut up, I shut up. Shut up, shutting up.
All right, folks, there you go. 2016, Tooncast Beyond, Christmas Action Block. 2 out of 3 were not really Christmas cartoons. They were just set at Christmas time. Kind of weird. Tune in tomorrow for day 9 of the 25 Days of Toon Beyond Christmas, where we talk about a Space Ghost Christmas. TV's Mr. Neil and I will stumble through that. So thank you so much. Catch you next time, folks.
The yummy fruity pebbles in a bowl. Oh, here comes you know who. Yabba dabba fruit, delicious dew. Oh, ho, ho, I'm hungry.
Santa, my pebbles!
Your pebbles! 'Tis the season to be sharing, Fred.
Happy holidays, pal.
Oh, Fred. Fruity and cocoa pebble cereals, part of this nutritious breakfast.